Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Dave Cohen. Back to Tommy Tucker now on WWL.
Matriculating our way through the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So I put the TV on before the news, right? In the afternoon,
sure.
I watch the news.
Yeah.
And the Family Feud is on, and I got a family and a guy, I've never seen this before. He introduces you, and it's like, introduce your family. Steve Harvey, by the way. If I come back as anybody, it would be Steve Harvey.
Really?
Man's got 15 different jobs and is making God knows how much money. And he seems like he's having a blast doing it. So anyway, so the guy says, yeah, I'd like to introduce my wife and then my lovely daughter and my daughter's mom, my ex-wife.
Oh.
And her husband.
Oh.
And that was the family. And they did well.
You ever thought if you went on the feud, who you would bring with you?
Well, I'm thinking about putting a team together of you and me and maybe Coleman and,
we're not family,
and Joe Cardoz. Well, we'll make it up. We'll make ourselves a family. You know what I'm saying?
But he brought his ex-wife and her new husband.
Yes, and they all got along fine. Everything was great.
Did they win?
Yeah, they won a lot of money. Everybody was happy and joyful and everything. And I just can't imagine that family dynamic. That's got to be kind of...
What if they won five in a row and won the car? Then what do they do? They're going to ride around together with the ex-wife and the new husband?
I don't know if it's a car now. I think it's like a
vacation.
10-day vacation.
Are you going to go on vacation with your
ex-wife
10
people.
And the
new
husband?
You got to find 10 people to go on vacation with. You find 10 people to go on vacation
I got four kids, so no problem.
All right. Wouldn't you love to see him introduce people differently? Like, this is my ne'er-do-well nephew, Corey.
Ne'er-do-well.
Next to him, my unemployable brother-in-law, Fred. Next to him is my dim-witted cousin, Melinda. And then at the end there is my mean, just angry, ugly, make-a-freight-train-take-a-dirt-road sister, Geraldine.
Poor Geraldine.
Think? Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that would be a way to introduce the family. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the economy here. It's a loose morning, right? It's a loose morning. That's what we're doing.
Apparently, yeah.
We'll be back, WWL. Corey Staley joins us now, economist at Indeed, 7:15 on this Wednesday morning before Thanksgiving. Morning, Corey. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Good morning. It's good to be here.
You all ready for Thanksgiving?
I am all ready for Thanksgiving, getting geared up.
I'm doing a survey among the listeners here just because, you know, we're running a little loose this morning and killing some time. Tell me, pardon me, do you have a favorite Thanksgiving thing that you look forward to eating every year?
Oh, I was going to say, my mom makes some of the best cranberry sauce.
Really?
Just homemade cranberry sauce, and I look forward to it every year.
There you go. Mom's homemade cranberry sauce. I'm putting you on the list. Let's talk about job reports, and what are we looking at in terms of seasonal job hiring, Corey?
Yeah, so, I mean, overall, jobs reports, you know, what we're seeing is that things are still doing okay in the labor market. It's kind of slowed down a little bit, but by and large, you know, things are still holding up right now. We're seeing that there are slightly more seasonal job opportunities than last year available. But if we look at kind of the longer context and timeline, we actually see that there's fewer opportunities than there were a couple of years ago. So kind of a mix. A little more than last year, but quite a bit less than we saw a couple of years ago.
I always wondered why seasonal job opportunities were even measurable, because it just seems like a temporary thing, or do you measure them because they lead to permanent jobs or it boosts the economy temporarily? Take me through that, Corey.
Yeah, so I was going to say there's kind of two pieces to it. Yes, like oftentimes they'll lead to permanent jobs. You know, people will get into these jobs and then they'll stick around with those companies. So it can be kind of a little less of a conventional pathway into a job. But we also measure them too, because they tell us a lot about how businesses are feeling going into the holidays, right? If they feel like people are going to spend money, that's a good thing for the economy, and businesses, you know, can kind of signal that based on how many people they're hiring. So it can tell us something about how businesses are feeling, where the economy is at in the holiday season. So again, we're seeing that right now businesses are feeling, you know, roughly on par with where they were last year, but maybe not quite as good as they were feeling a couple of years ago. And obviously, a lot of uncertainty and tariffs and other things might be part of playing into that a little bit as well.
How has that changed from year to year in terms of, not year to year, but I guess decade to decade? Because, you know, back in the 80s, people would go to the mall and do the whole Black Friday thing, and they would put on retail people, and then they'd have the B-roll on TV of registers ringing and people in line and so forth. Has that changed with online shopping, and have the jobs as a result of that changed as well?
Yeah, that has certainly changed, right? If we look at the types of seasonal jobs that are available, you know, it's still, you know, predominantly retail jobs. You know, we see that about 2/3 of jobs every year in this seasonal category are retail. And so still some of the kind of top job titles are going to be related to, you know, in-person retail, but we're seeing that that has been shifting, right, over the years with the rise of online shopping. You know, so we're seeing a lot more driving jobs and warehouse jobs. And even as we look at last year to this year, we do see that there's been a pretty noticeable uptick. Retail jobs, seasonal retail jobs, mm-hmm. are pretty much flat from where they were last year. But there's actually about twice as many, a little over twice as many driving jobs as there were last year. So we're seeing...
When you're talking about actual retail, behind the wheel, yeah. You're not saying the verb driving, or at least... The active, you're talking about literal driving here is what you're saying, right? Not something
literal
driving something up. This literal driving. Okay, I just want to clear that up. Go
ahead. Yeah, these are people, you know, yeah, either driving loads of things or, you know, people who are, you know, jumping in a truck and dropping off deliveries at people's houses.
When it comes to benefits, do these jobs have any benefits, or is it just like contract work?
A lot of them do have benefits. I mean, these are, you know, big companies oftentimes that hire for these types of roles. So they'll often give you like some, you know, short term type of benefits. But again, because they are, you know, typically jobs that are intended on the surface to last for a couple months, you know, they can also, you know, some employers do opt to just maybe pay a little bit more, not offer the benefits up front, which, you know, obviously for somebody who this is their main job or they're trying to get into the labor market, can be challenging. But there are also a lot of people we see who take these jobs as a second job. You know, they might already have benefits from a first job, and they're taking these types of seasonal jobs to make ends meet or to bring in a little extra cash for a Christmas present.
Where are the most seasonable jobs? I'll get it out. Why do I say seasonable? I think I'm thinking about Thanksgiving dinner is what I'm thinking about, seasoning that turkey.
I think we all are, yeah.
Where are the most seasonal job opportunities presenting themselves?
Yeah, so again, right now what we're seeing is, you know, overall retail is still pretty strong. And I mean, the good thing with retail is if you think geographically, you know, retail is something that, you know, is pretty ubiquitous, right? It's something that we see kind of all over the country. You know, so these seasonal jobs aren't necessarily concentrated in like one area of the country. You know, they're spread throughout retail, they're spread throughout driving. You know, because a lot of these companies who are delivering online purchases need to be able to reach every community, right? So mm-hmm. it's something that, you know, presents a lot more opportunity. You know, it's not like tech jobs being, you know, more focused in like certain cities in the U.S. It's something that, you know, definitely ranges out and, you know, is available to people kind of all over the country.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Corey Staley, economist at Indeed, about seasonal job hiring looking better than in previous years in some areas, flat in others. We'll also talk about the state of the job market in general. If you have any questions or comments, at Oakman Art Jeweler, talking text lines wide open, 504-260-1870. Text them in, and I'll pass them along when we return. Traffic now on WWE.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. We wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Oh. Hi, 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Corey Staley, economist at Indeed. Corey, beyond seasonal hiring, what has stood out to you in the job market in recent months?
Again, in recent months, we've seen that, you know, things have mostly held up, but we are seeing that the labor market is starting to slow down and add fewer jobs than it did. If we actually look at how many jobs we've added so far this year compared to previous years, we see that this is actually been off to one of the worst starts since COVID, obviously, but I mean, that was a different time. But then before that, we're off the worst start since 2010. But I think the important thing here is that what it means to have a good economy is rapidly changing, right? We're starting to see with a lot of immigration changes that a good jobs report and a good number of jobs being added, you know, is rapidly changing. We're trying to figure out exactly, you know, what the right number of jobs is now. You know, traditionally the rule of thumb has been, we need to create 100,000 jobs a month. That number is starting to kind of come down because we're seeing that the pool of people working is starting to shrink.
So here's my question as far as that goes, and it is, if you have X amount of people that are here illegally doing jobs and then you round them up and you deport them, then who, from the job standpoint, takes those jobs, and are they going to take those jobs at the rate that was being paid to the people that were here illegally? And if the answer is no, well, then who's going to wind up paying the extra, the difference? And if the answer is yes, well, then why were illegals having the jobs in the first place? Am I overthinking this or not?
No, I mean, I think that's an interesting question, way to think about it. I mean, overall, I mean, obviously, a lot of the migrant workers, you know, play a pretty significant part of the U.S. economy. If we look, and we're not talking about just, you know, illegal workers, you know, we also look at a lot of people who, you know, are here legally as well that contribute. It's about 20% of the U.S. workforce is foreign born.
Corey, I was talking about the ones that are here that aren't going to be here anymore.
Yeah. And the ones that are, you know, maybe leaving as well. I mean, it's been certainly, you know, they play a major role in a lot of the different industries. And, you know, so, yeah, there are some jobs that maybe will be a little bit more difficult to fill. And I think the big overarching thing here is, if we look at what's going on, you know, even outside of this discussion of immigration, you know, we see that we have like an aging population, and the pool of workers, even, you know, domestic workers, is shrinking because people are just getting older. Fewer people are aging into the labor force. And I think that's creating a really difficult situation where, you know, businesses in the long run, you know, in the next few years, next decades, are going to have, you know, more of a challenge, you know, finding workers, right? Whether it be, you know, people coming from abroad or whether it's, you know, people even here at home. So in the short term, yeah, like, I mean, there, you know, there, maybe we could figure some things out, but I mean, we're definitely facing some challenges in filling in for workers as, you know, baby boomers age out and fewer younger people age in.
Any final thoughts?
No, I think overall, you know, again, what we're seeing is, you know, the labor market's still holding up a little bit slower than it was a couple years ago. But again, you know, we're seeing that businesses are still feeling pretty good as they head into seasonal and head into the holiday season.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate your time. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving and have some of that cranberry sauce for me, okay?
Oh, you know it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Tiger fans, keep it locked on WWL for the latest on LSU search for the next head football coach. We'll bring you breaking news when it happens on air, online, and social. Plus, listen to Sports Talk every weekday at 4 for up-to-the-minute reports from LSU insiders and expert analysis. Brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. For the latest on LSU, count on WWL. We'll come back and talk about diabetes right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to our news director, one Dave Cohen.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Dave Cohen. Back to Tommy Tucker now on WWL.
So what is this guy in Italy doing? What would he do?
So his mom died a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He wanted to keep getting her government benefits.
Yeah.
So he stashed the body.
Yeah.
And put on her pearls and her dress and her makeup and cut his hair like hers and yeah. went down to the government office to renew her ID card so he could keep getting her money.
And what was it that gave him away?
His low voice and his thick neck.
So you would think if you're going to put on foundation and pearls, you would consider maybe a scarf to hide your thick neck, maybe?
Yeah, well. Maybe.
Right? Maybe?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think? If you're gonna go through all that trouble, if you're going to stash your mom's body for 3 years to collect pension benefits, details, that's how they get you the details, and wouldn't you kind of raise your voice up a little and say, I'm sorry, I have a cold.
Yeah, that
I'm
was the thing, sorry. Even in Mrs. Doubtfire, you know, Robin Williams looked the part.
Yeah.
But the voice was a little suspect.
But, I mean, if it's just a temporary thing, you play it off as a cold or something. It's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so terribly sorry. Was he from Britain? Where is he from?
Italy.
I'm so sorry. I have a cold.
Things are a little loose this morning, I've heard.
Yeah, it's the day before Thanksgiving.
That's the rumor,
anyway. What are we doing? You know, it's 504-260-1870. What's your favorite thing at the Thanksgiving table? We asked a guest that just now, and they told us it's mom's homemade cranberry sauce. So
my,
when it comes to
my daughter
sauce.
Would literally leave if there was no cranberry. If my wife didn't make cranberry sauce for Thanksgiving, one of my daughters would just turn around and
whole go. Berry or jellied?
Combination.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Raspberry jello, jellied cranberries.
And a lot of
fresh
vodka.
Fresh cranberries.
And a lot of vodka.
Pecans. I don't know if there's vodka in it or not. I don't think there's vodka in it.
Yeah, put it in. You can't lose. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Talk about diabetes here.
You can't lose.
On WWL. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly to Dr. Tanya DeSilva, an endocrinologist with LSU Health New Orleans. Talk about diabetes, and it is Diabetes Month, and we wanted to talk about this before the month ran out, and also with Thanksgiving coming up. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Just as you should never force alcohol on anybody or get them to drink if they don't want to drink or for whatever reason can't, should people be concerned about what they serve at their table or people that have diabetes would be aware of it and they can monitor whatever it is that they're eating?
I think many patients with diabetes do understand what they should and shouldn't eat. On the other hand, for any of us, when there's temptation in front of us, it's harder. So I think families should try to be aware of the things that would be harder for their family members with diabetes to resist and it would be healthier for them to avoid. So.
What is diabetes? Let's start with that.
Sure. So diabetes is really a state of high blood sugars that arise from either no insulin being produced by the body at all, that's called type 1 diabetes, or if there's just inadequate insulin produced for the needs of that person. So an imbalance in the amount of insulin produced, causing high blood sugars.
Is it very common in people?
Diabetes type 2 is extremely common, and it is growing throughout the world, and particularly, unfortunately, in our region. So, yes, it is a very common disorder for patients to have.
Let's take a step back. The difference between type 1 and type 2.
So, in type 1 diabetes, that's an autoimmune disease, typically where the cells of the body within the pancreas are destroyed, and they can't produce insulin at all. So, there's complete lack of insulin. In type 2 diabetes, it is more an imbalance between how much is produced by the body and what the needs are. And for type 2 diabetes, there's a degree of insulin resistance where there's just not, the body is not able to use the insulin as well. That's often, there's many different things that can cause type 2 diabetes. genetics, environmental factors, and then unfortunately lifestyle factors, including increased rates of obesity, have also resulted in higher rates of type 2 diabetes.
Let me tell you something. I lost 85 pounds, and I guarantee you I was pre-diabetic, and had I not started on the weight loss drugs, I would have full-blown diabetes type 2 now. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. Is type 1 diabetes the same that's known as juvenile diabetes?
It used to be called juvenile diabetes, but we've kind of rephrased it because we actually realized, though more commonly we noted in younger people, it can occur at any age, actually. So we do now call it type 1 diabetes instead. But yes, that's what it used to be known as, juvenile diabetes.
Is it fair to say that type 2 diabetes, well, let me phrase it this way, is it avoidable or not?
As I mentioned, that it has a high genetic or inherited predisposition in patients. So for some people, they're going to be at higher risk. So it's not really, I would say, avoidable versus not avoidable, but I would say you can reduce your risk of developing it by lifestyle modification. However, I hate when people blame themselves for developing a disorder.
That's why I was so careful about how I phrased the question.
Correct. And that's exactly why I wanted, I think it was a great question you asked, because there is a high genetic predisposition. In my own family, I have two first degree relatives. My father had diabetes, my sister has diabetes. I'm at increased risk. Now, what steps can I take to reduce it? I can, try to, when we talk about lifestyle modification, it involves diet and exercise. And I can try to be mindful about what I eat and how I exercise. But that being said, with that genetic predisposition, I may still develop it. So,
almost
but there's
akin
a lot that we can do.
Akin to almost like, no, that's okay, doc. Like they're akin to almost, say you have the gene when it comes to alcoholism, where you know if there's a predisposition to this, then you avoid whatever it is that could make whatever it is develop or make you more prone to get this. Would that be accurate?
Exactly, because it's multifactorial, the development of the disorder. So part of it you don't have within your control, but you can certainly. I also do want to encourage people, right, that there are things that you can do to try to stay healthier. And then the other part is, even if you do develop it, either pre-diabetes or diabetes, there are really lots of things that can be done, both with lifestyle modification as well as working with physicians, because there's a lot of hope in our endocrinology community and the diabetes world these days, because there's a lot of new medications that are very effective to treat the disorder and also to protect patients from some of the side effects, including cardiovascular disease and problems with their kidneys, et cetera, that results from the disorder. So there's a lot of hope in.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. When we come back, talking to Dr. Tanya DeSilva, an endocrinologist with LSU Health New Orleans, learning a lot about diabetes. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Somebody texted and wants to know, once you have type 2 diabetes, can it be cured? We'll talk about that with the doctor when we come back. And I have a lot of other questions coming in. We'll get to those as well. 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL, November's National Diabetes Month. We're talking to Dr. Tanya DeSilva, endocrinologist with LSU Health New Orleans. Doctor, if you're diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, will it go away? Can it go away? Can you cure it, or do you just treat it? Tell me about that.
So, we talked about earlier that one of the things that can lead to the development of diabetes type 2 is a lot of genetic predisposition, inheritance from family risk. And so therefore, I don't usually like to say it's quote unquote cured. Mm-hmm. However, with some of the modern therapeutics, the drugs and medications, the lifestyle that we can help our patients with, we can have patients be, I like to say, in remission and be doing really well from a metabolic standpoint. I don't like to say cure because they're always at risk. Because of their genes. That's how I like to talk about it.
Now let's talk about diagnosis. How would somebody know if they have it? And let's talk about pre-diabetes as well, because I mentioned I know I was pre-diabetic because I was 85 pounds overweight. Is that a false presumption on my part?
You would be certainly I would be worried. I would definitely want to screen you being overweight.
Have you seen the movie Elf, where he goes in the four food groups? Those were my four really food groups, Doc, pretty much. Cake and cookies and syrup and those kind of things. So there you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is a great movie, though. So,
yeah.
So you said both for symptoms and diagnosis. So the interesting thing is for some patients, they do have classic symptoms of having high blood sugars. That could include increased thirst, increased going to the bathroom, urination, unexplained weight loss. Those things can suggest that someone has developed diabetes. But what is important for people to know is it can be clinically silent. They may not have any symptoms. So it is important to work to get primary care follow-up screenings to make the diagnosis, which is done by simple laboratory testing that can be done in your doctor's office.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, doctor. Is there a website people can go to find out more about this?
LSU Health, I would, if you want to get in contact with us, the American Diabetes Association is a wonderful source of information as well for patients.
Thank you,
Doc.
They have
a lot of patient information.
Thank you. I hope you have
You're
a
welcome.
Great Thanksgiving. Thank you. I hope you come back. Dr. Tanya DeSilva, endocrinologist with LSU Health New Orleans. We'll talk crime and budget when we come back.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.